لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا مولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعصي ما فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. وقد قال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: من قرأ سورة الكهف يوم الجمعة فهو معصوم إلى ثمانية أيام من كل فتنة، وإن خرج الدجال عصم منه كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله، صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. My most respected elders and brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives his insan different opportunities to gain closeness to him on different occasions. Sometimes it may be a great night like the night of Laylatul Qadr. Sometimes it may be a great day like the day of Arafat. Sometimes it could be a month like the month of Ramadan, or a few days like the first 10 days of Zilhijjah. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us every week a day whereby we can do a minimum amount of things and we can reap maximum benefits from it. And every week Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the day of Jum'ah. Such a day this is that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in the hadith, خَيْرُ يَوْمٍ طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّمْسِ يَوْمُ الْجُمْعَةِ, that the best day that the sun has ever risen upon is the day of Jum'ah. It was the habit of the past, the pious of the past, that after the Fajr Salah, immediately they will make preparations for the Jummah Salah. This was the importance that they showed to this day. Just to mention a few practices of this day, one is to read abundant durood on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And one durood Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions that after the Asr Salah, that person who sits in the same place that he has performed the salah, and he recites, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin Nabil Ummiyye wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin Nabil Ummiyye wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima. If a person recites this 80 times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will wipe out 80 years of his minor sins, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will record for him 80 years of ibadat. Similarly, Ibn Sunni rahimullah has mentioned that that person who after he performs his sunnats of his fajr, and thereafter he waits till the time, that period between the sunnats of his fajr and the farz of his fajr, between that time, if he reads and he recites, Astaghfirullah alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum wa atubu ilayh. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه. If he recites this three times on a Friday between the sunnats of his fajr and the farz of his fajr, Allah will wipe out all his minor sins. In another narration of his, he mentions that that person after the Jummah Salah, if he recites 100 times, Subhanallah al-Azim wa bihamdihi astaghfirullah. Subhanallahil Azimi wa bihamdihi astaghfirullah. If he recites this after the Jummah Salah, Allah will forgive 100,000 of his minor sins and 24,000 of the minor sins of his parents. So these are just small actions. Minimum amount of effort with a maximum amount of benefit that a person can get if a person just makes amal and practice on these things. And amongst the practices of the day of Jummah is Suratul Kahf. And that's my topic for today, is to just speak about the summary of Suratul Kahf. Mulana Abul Hasan Nadwi, rahimahullah, a very, very great saint, he mentions that from a young age, my mother should make sure that every Friday I would recite the surah, that is Suratul Kahf. This also teaches us that we should be reciting it and make sure that our children also recite it. And he should say that his mother would actually check up on him whether he's reciting the surah or not. He says, as I grew older and I became an alim, and as I was studying, and when I looked into the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that person who recites Suratul Kahf, then he'll be saved from the fitnas of Dajjal. So I thought to myself, he says that why did Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam choose this surah out of the whole Quran? Why did he choose this surah? Why didn't he choose Surah Yasin or Surah Tabarak al-Ladhi? Why not any other surah? Why did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam choose this surah? He says, as I pondered over the surah, I realized that Dajjal will be an embodiment of misguidance. He'll be an embodiment of darkness. He'll be a person who's an embodiment of deception. And he'll be one who will try to take away the people's iman. He will take away the people's iman and lead them towards the wrong path. So he said, when I looked into this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about those things that are a threat to our iman. Allah speaks about those things that are a threat to our iman. That if a person wants to save himself and his iman, then he must read this surah and he must practice on what are in the surah and the things that are in the surah. So just briefly we'll be going through, just to speak about the message that is in the surah. We cannot go through all the incidents. In this surah, Allah speaks about four incidents. We'll only be speaking about three. The first incident that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about is about the people and the youngsters, the youth of the cave, Ashabul Kahf. And Allah speaks about them, that they were in such an era where there was a tyrant ruler. He used to make everyone and force everyone to idol worship, to worship idols and to worship him. But these were youngsters. This was in a period before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam. But these were youngsters that they kept the company of pious. So they were really strong with the iman. They decided that they are not going to follow whatever this king says. Obviously the king, when he found out, he summoned them and he threatened them and he told them that we are giving you a few days to decide. Either you accept what we say, or if you don't accept, then we will kill you. We'll execute you. Not realizing that these youngsters will run away. Because it's not easy to just run away, leave everything and run away. So they were not expecting that. Now these youngsters, they are faced with the situation. Immediately they turn to dua. And they make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. O Allah, we need your mercy from your side. And O Allah, guide us to make the right decision. Guide us to make the right decision. Teaching us that whatever situation we are facing, a person must always turn to dua. A person must use the means. But first, before using the means, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, supplicate in front of Allah. So they made this dua. Allah says, وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدَىٰ. We increase the iman. But now that dua is sufficient, is a person just made that dua. That's not just sufficient just to make the dua. But see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says after that. وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ إِذْ قَامُوا. That we made the iman even more stronger when they stood up
and took the first step towards the right. Many a times a person has desire. I want to become a pious person. I want to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person makes dua also. But just the dua itself is not sufficient. You have to take that first step to the right. Use the right means. When a person uses the right means, takes that first step, then Allah will make the rest easy for him. But we have to take the first step. So Allah says that when they took their first step, see how we protected them. There were six of them in the beginning, and they decided that we're going to leave home. And when on the way, they met a seventh person who had an animal. He was a shepherd, and he had an animal, he had a dog. So with his dog and this person, this seven with the dog, they continued, and they went into the cave. Allah says, I protected them in five ways. Allah says, وَإِذِ اَتَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ فَأَوُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِي وَيُهَيِّئْ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَمْرِكُمْ مِرْفَقًا. Allah says that when they moved away from the wrong, and they took that first step, and they went and took refuge in that cave, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what we did from our side, we made it such that we put them to sleep for 309 years. And we gave them a comfortable sleep. Why? Because when the sun used to rise and the sun used to set, the sun used to pass over the cave in such a way that the rays of the sun will not come into the cave. It's obvious when a person is sleeping and with the morning light coming onto his face, he will wake up. So Allah says that the rays of the sun also, we never allowed it to disturb them. It would rise and it would set, but it would not come into the cave. The second thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did, وَتَحْسَبُهُمْ إِيقَاضًا وَهُمْ رُقُودٌ, that you would think them to be sleeping, but they are awake. It's obvious when a person is sleeping, people who are going past him will try to interfere with them. So Allah says that we made it such that anyone past them will think that they are awake, they will not even try to interfere with them. Then if a person is staying for so long and sleeping for so long, we know what damage it can cause to the body. So Allah says we even took care of that also. وَنُقَلِّبُهُمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ, that we made them turn from right to left now and then so that it will not cause any harm to the body also. That long sleep of theirs. So that was the third thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Then Allah ta'ala says, وَقَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِطٌ ذِرَعِيِّ بِالْوَسِيدِ, that dog that was with them, that dog was sleeping at the mouth of the cave. And it was not completely in his sleep also. It was just like in a slumber. As though the dog is guarding the place so that no one else can come into the cave and try to harm these youngsters. Then Allah Ta'ala says, لَوِقْتَلَعْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ لَوَلَّيْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِرَارًا وَلَمُلِئْتَ مِنْهُمْ رُعْبًا, that if anyone came, they Allah placed such an awe in them, such an awe and such an honor that anyone came past, they respected them and no one even tried to even harm them. Allah put it, when a person comes close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a pious servant of Allah, his taqwa is increasing, his iman is increasing, Allah places an awe. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says in the riwayat of Bukhari, نُسِرْتُ بِالرُّعْبِ مَصِيرَةَ شَهْرٍ, Allah gave me such awe and such respect, which was a distance of 1 month's journey. That's from so far, if a person just heard of me, that respect automatically came into the person. If the person tried to harm me also, then Allah will protect me already, that fear will already come into his heart. So Allah placed the same thing into on these youngsters, so that no one will try to harm them. So in five ways Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected them when they took the first step. So the first lesson, the first incident teaches us that the first threat to your iman will be your society, will be the people that are around you. Sometimes it could be one's parents, sometimes it could be one's friends. And also the material things around you will be a threat. Like Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, we know that he was living in such a place where there was only fire worship. There was shirk and kufr. What did he do? A time had come when he told his father also that now I will have to leave you, because I cannot practice my deen and I cannot fulfill my rights to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he left and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected me after. So that's the first incident teaching us that the first threat to one's iman is one's society. And if it is, if it's one's friends that is a threat to his iman, then he will have to break away friendship with such people. Because لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. A person cannot obey the makhluq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the khaliq. So that's the first incident. The second incident, Allah speaks about two friends. One a kafir, one a believer. And Allah had given that kafir a lot of wealth. And that believer, Allah did not give him so much of wealth. And this kafir used to boast about his wealth. And it's normal, people normally, they gauge success in this dunya according to how much wealth a person has. Whereas in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, success is not based on how much wealth you have. So anyway, Allah gave him everything, produce, fruit, gardens. He had everything, abundant of water, lush green, fertile lands, everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him. But he did not believe in Allah. His friend used to try and advise him that, remember, bring iman, there's a day to come when you'll have to stand in front of Allah. So he used to mockingly say to his friend, وَلَئِن رُدِدْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا. That Allah has given me a lot in this dunya. When I go back to Allah, Allah will give me a lot there too. So his friend used to tell him, but remember, today you got it, Allah can take it away tomorrow. Al-malu ghadin wa raihun. Wealth is something that can come today and it can go away tomorrow. And Allah says in the surah thereafter that I took everything away. I sent a calamity upon his lands, and within a few seconds everything was gone. Why? Because he did not make shukr to Allah. So Allah is teaching us that, remember, success is not based on wealth, is not based on how much you have of the dunya. The second threat to your iman will be the material things around you and the dunya that is around you. حب الدنيا رأس كل خطيئة. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the love of dunya is the root of all sicknesses. But now, does it mean that a person must just abandon the dunya? No. Well, what the Sharia teaches us, even the Quran Sharif even says to us, وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٍ. The love of dunya, Allah has created in each and every person's heart. So what is wanted from us? Allah clearly mentions in the Quran, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشُونَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضُونَهَا حَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّصُوا. Allah says, if your families, and if your businesses, and if your wealth that you have got is more beloved to you than Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning is more beloved to you than the commands of Allah and the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and is more beloved to you than striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then fata rabbasu, then remember, you're asking for trouble. If there's a clash, our families are telling us to do things against the commands of Allah, whether it could be a wedding that they want a mixed gathering, or whether they want things that photography and all other things that are against Shariat, then who are we going to listen to? At that time, it's a test for us. Are we going to follow what they are saying? Or are we going to follow what Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying to us? Or what is our businesses that everything is so quiet? And just at the time of Salah, a customer comes in. At that time, the Muazzin is calling us to a Salah. Are we going to go to the Salah, or are we going to give preference to that customer and that business? Allah praises such people who they leave their businesses just for the sake of Allah. When the time of Salah comes, رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بِيعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, they were such people that when the azan and the call of Salah came, then nothing distracted them from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing distracted them from fulfilling the commands of Allah. So this is a second threat to our iman. That is the material things and the dunya that is around us. The third incident, we do not have much time. The third incident is about Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Khazir alayhi salam. In this incident, Allah speaks about such things that had taken place in front of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, which outwardly seemed wrong. But, like for example, the Khazir alayhi salam went and killed that youngster. And then he went and they traveled on a boat of some people who helped them, and then he went and broke that boat. And a few other incidents that had taken place between Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Khazr. Outwardly, there were things that were harmful. And Musa alayhi salam was objecting to that. How could you do such a thing? But when Khazr alayhi salatu wasalam explained to him the reasons, then he understood. Teaching us in this third incident, that in your dunya, there will be things that will take place against your desires. There will be things that will take place that you don't like it to take place. How are you going to react at that time? Allah knows better what is. Allah knows what is better for us. How are you going to react? A person went for a proposal, hoping and desiring that he will get the answer, yes, from the person. But he got a different answer. What is his reaction? A person started a business, and he did everything according to Sharia. Yeah, if he did something wrong, then he must blame himself. He did everything according to Sharia. And now, with all that effort, it never worked out. Or a person is writing his exams, or whatever degree he's working towards, and he did whatever he had to do in the correct way, and never, in the end, he wasn't successful. Now, is that condition going to take him away from Allah? That is a threat to your iman now. Allah says, "Asa an takrahu shay'an wa khayrun lakum, wa asa an tuhibbu shay'an wa sharrun lakum." Perhaps you may like something, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it's not good for you. Perhaps you may dislike something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that thing is good for you. So in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that there are certain things that are going to be a threat to your iman. One is, from the incident of the people of Kahf and the people of Cave, is your society will be a threat to your iman. The second incident of those two people, one rich and one poor, Allah is showing us that the dunya also can be a threat to your, will be a threat to your iman. And the third incident of Musa al-Islam and Khazir al-Islam, Allah is teaching us that there will be things that will take place in the dunya that will be against your desires. It must not threaten your iman. Your iman must become more stronger in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter, there are many other incidents that are taking place. But we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the real message of Surah Al-Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding of that message. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our iman, keep us steadfast with iman, take us from this world with kamil iman. Let us wake up on the day of qiyamah with kamil iman. And we also make dua for all those people that are suffering all over the world. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove the sufferings of each and every one. Allah protect our health, our wealth, and Allah protect our iman. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Inshallah, there will be a nikah which will take place now. Thereafter, I think there will be some time for sunnah.
Can the nikah parties come forward, please? Inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brother Sayyid Yunus Ibrahim, you are the representative of the bride Nazira Sayyid Ahmad. Have you obtained her permission to perform her nikah to Muhammad Bodania? Do I have your permission to perform this nikah? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي